The idea that corporate-owned housing is able to raise your rent $300-$400 a month or something, under what I'm about to announce, they can't raise it more than $55.
Why did he pause like that? $55? We're not going to raise it more than... There was a Dr. Evil moment. I'm looking at the screen right now because I'm making sure he doesn't stick his pinky out like Dr. Evil. $55. If you get the newsletter, and by the way, welcome. We are, the hell day is it today? It feels like a second Tuesday.
Wednesday, hump day.
Is it Wednesday? I mean, I know I'm looking at the date right in front of me, but I'm like, really? Because it seems like another Tuesday. Anyway, and that's because the news cycle's insane, and we're going to get into all of that stuff. But yeah, it's a little, the president went and spoke at the NAACP, I'm sorry, the NAC, Kane. Yeah, can we hear, before we, first, welcome to the program, listen around the country. You should have gotten the chapter and verse Substack newsletter because you would have gotten all this already. That's why you need to be a subscriber. Can we, what is the NAC? Is that like a subsidiary of NAACP? Go ahead and play this.
My Sharona?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. All right, go ahead and play it. Go ahead.
For the race riots in Springfield, Illinois in 1908, the NAACP was formed. That's what started it.
The NAACP. You know, that good old NAACP.
Before they were people?
I mean, if you look at it as like the short there, it's, you know, it seems like that's, yeah, I'm like, I'm actually shocked. Am I though? Am I shocked, Dana? Are you really shocked? Well, maybe not. Maybe not so much.
It's a cheap fake, though. It's just a cheap fake.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's a cheap fake. That is a cheap fake. That is correct. So the president was speaking at the NAACP, and he, going over everything that he did, he said he was going to cap rent, and then he did some race baiting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, did some of the race baiting.
Cut one, though? I can't believe he said cut one.
Oh, you can't? Go ahead and listen. This is 5 seconds, but you guys need to hear this.
I played him on Today in Stupidity, and I still couldn't believe he said it. Cut one.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Folks, I know what a black job is. It's the vice president of the United States.
So he says he knows what a black job is. It's the vice president of the United States.
Wow.
That's what he's saying here. So number two, always the vice presidency. For the love, I can't even deal. So he decides, this is what he goes and does with NAACP. He talks about capping rent. Capping rent, the mostly peaceful riots. No, he didn't even say mostly peaceful, the super peaceful riots, the George Floyd riots. And then he called it the NAC and then said, he talked about lifeguard stuff in the projects again. And then he said that about Kamala Harris as well. So, you know, all in all, like a typical Joe Biden speech. But can we just go, which one? This is audio soundbite 2000, please. 2000. Yeah, 2000, number two, just two. Yeah.
And you peacefully protested George Floyd's murder. Donald Trump called for the National Guard to go after you. What in the hell's the matter with this man?
Okay, Kane, were we all high or something? Did we all, wait. Audience check here. Wait, I didn't just dream. Do we all have like a collective dream? I swear to you, I legit saw like entire neighborhoods burning, yes. Right?
Yes, I don't know where the peaceful protests were happening, but it wasn't right there.
Yeah, it wasn't right there. What is that about? Got some questions here. I mean, I don't remember. I mean, I wrote on the newsletter. I have up on the newsletter all of the images of all of the arson and the looting and the violence and the total destruction. And I just don't know that I would classify that as, you know, peaceful. I don't know that I would call that peaceful.
Local law enforcement requested more help.
Right. Well, they needed more. Yeah, they needed some more help.
It wasn't Trump trying to be a dictator and throw National Guard in there. It wasn't like that. Like
that
at
damn
all.
Trump calling for the police to come and stop the arson and looting. Damn him. such a dictator calling for the police to come out and stop the arson. And can't some people just burn some buildings down? I thought this was America. I mean, I guess that's what, you know, that's to be expected. I don't know. But that's what he was doing. He was there last night. And great job, by the way, turning the temperature down. Because we've been having a lot of conversations. I love it. I mean, I could sit here and I didn't send all this to you guys because I thought it's obvious. At some point, I'm beating a dead horse. But all of the different members of the commentariat that are on, you know, the MSNBCs and the CNNs that are going on and on about, well, we really need to lower the tone. We really need to watch the rhetoric. Unity, lower the temperature. And then Biden goes out and is like, well, Trump called the police on you because you're black. I mean, that's basically what he's saying there. Keep in mind, it was predominantly black neighborhoods that were burning. You know, people were losing their livelihoods, and Joe Biden is mad that that couldn't continue, I guess. I mean, what in the world?
It's his updated, it'll put you all back in chains line.
Yeah. But that's his way of lowering the temperature. And by the way, can we just talk for a moment about the rent caps? How racist are you to go to the NAACP and assume that, well, I'm talking to a minority group and he acts like minorities can't own property. He acts like minorities aren't landlords. I mean, that's what he's doing. He can't offer black Americans better economic prospects. He can't offer them, you know, lower crime rates. You know, he can't offer them domestic production, an increase in domestic production. The only thing that he can do is offer rent caps because he assumes that minorities can't own their own property or themselves be landlords. So it's the same thing that he's always done. So that was Biden lowering the temperature yesterday. And in the meantime, there were three things that developed with regards to sketchy murderers with guns. There was an armed man in a ski mask arrested while approaching the RNC perimeter in Milwaukee. He had a pistol, a ski mask, a tack bag, and some ammo on him. That happened. And then there was another guy. It was a 21-year-old man. There was another guy they shot. This was crazy. And there were several incidents that were happening. And then, of course, you have this whole story that we first discussed yesterday because it came out in our third hour yesterday. The story of a Secret Service receiving intel on this Iranian plot to assassinate the former president and presidential candidate. And that resulted in increased security weeks before he ended up being shot just on Saturday. And so this coming out, it seems like they knew it for a long time. CNN actually reported this question, because then that leads into more questions about the massive failure. Think about this. That's apparently with more Secret Service, but increased in Secret Service protection. Kane, did that look like an increase in protection to you?
I think there's only one or two Secret Service agents there.
Because weren't they like U.S. Marshals? They had the Marshal like pins?
DEAs or DEAs.
Yeah, I think they were like U.S. Marshals. Like two of them had the Marshal pins. But that's super problematic. This is super problematic. And so this story, they said that they received intel of this plot. There was no known connection to the shooting that happened in Pennsylvania. That took place on Saturday. They said the existence of this threat from a hostile foreign intel agency that contributed to apparently like enhanced security. And they said that the national security official said Secret Service and the campaign were made aware of the threat before the rally on Saturday. And they said that they learned of the threat from intel, and they didn't disclose, you know, whether, you know, obviously they're not going to disclose what they're going to do to increase security. But apparently, the Trump campaign has been warned against holding outdoor rallies. And they said that, you know, there's greater risks and it's more difficult for the... I will be interested to see if he continues to do outdoor rallies at this point. Because clearly, all of the excuses that we've heard from Secret Service, it's abysmal. The fact that they could... 147 yards away... And you have this guy, and by the way, more information's coming out on this. There was an agent that took a picture of the guy 30 minutes before he got on top of the roof. I mean, I've got all kinds of stuff here for you. It took a picture of this and radioed to the command post. and they saw that this guy was also he took a picture of this guy. When he came through security, they found a rangefinder on him, and that's what you use, you know, to gauge distance, you know, like when you're hunting, etc., and for your shot. And they saw that, and you know, they kind of made a note to keep a watch on him. Then they said the local sniper observed this guy looking through his rangefinder, and that's when he radioed the command post, according to local law enforcement. And then the guy took a photo, and he was trying to send the photo up the chain of command. And this is like a half hour, if not more, before the shooting took place. And the command post, there's no confirmation as to whether or not they got that information. I mean, as of right now, they don't have any confirmation on whether or not that photo taken by that local guy actually went up the chain of command. So, and they said that they lost track of him, but they saw him, you know, kind of looking up at the building and all of this stuff, which, I'm sorry, if I'm doing security for an event and you come in my event and my perimeter and you got a rangefinder, you're by yourself and you look weird, maybe this is me, but when I'm running security for someone, I'm going to be a B. And I see you coming through, and then I see you looking up at a building. First off, I'm totally going to take a picture of you before I even let you in there. I may take video of you too. I may make you talk, and then I may video record you the entire time you're in my perimeter. And you best damn believe if I see you walking out towards, you know, the very excess of the perimeter and looking up at a building that we don't have a presence on, oh, I'm going to be your backpack. Oh yeah, I'm going to be right there with you. I ain't going to let you do nothing. And you can't, because there were, I'm not going to sit here and point fingers and armchair quarterback, but I'm sorry. I saw you know, security people standing around. Clearly, you see somebody weird, you go and you shadow them. And there were apparently two other municipal police officers. When they heard the call for backup, they attempted to climb onto the roof. And one of them hoisted the other onto the roof of the building where that guy had taken a position. That's the one who he turned his gun on the officer and he fell off the roof. And then moments later he turned, I guess, tried to reacquire his target and started firing. And so this is just wild. When you read all of these additional details that are coming out and you see how insane this is, I have even more questions now about this. There's still, like, how was this happen? They found a remote detonator next to him. They found all of this. They found bombs in the car that he parked next to the rally. He was acting suspiciously. A number of people saw him. Security officials saw him. He was acting suspiciously. He kept trying to get around the metal detector, too, that they had there, and it was going off. I don't know if you guys knew that detail. That happened. We're going to talk more about this because there is so much more information that's coming out about this. People need to get their asses beat for this. Publicly beaten. This is beyond. We got a lot more to get into. Also coming up, some of the other things we're touching on. Media reaction, still crazy. Also, Biden announces he's coming after the Supreme Court. He's adopted Bernie Sanders' platform. We're going to discuss that. The RNC. We're going to discuss that because there's a huge fight over platform, and now there's a fight over cancel culture, which we're going to talk about with my friend Nick Searcy coming up. We got a lot of stuff to hit, and you don't want to miss it. Our partners that help bring you free radio, the folks over at ReadyWise, they want to make sure that you're ready for everything. You don't have to have a disaster to prepare for major emergencies. And as we've seen with Hurricane Beryl, you want to be ready and always have a way to, you know, feed your family and know where your food comes from and without having to worry about crowded stores and power outages and all that stuff. So ReadyWise, this is great, high quality food, U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25 year shelf life. And they make it easy. Dana 20 gets you 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. If you would rather have it, not need it, then need it, not have it. And if you wait till an emergency to prepare, it's too late. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, the whistleblower who used to work at the Washington University Clinic for Transgender Children in St. Louis has now said that the trans center is closing. Yeah, the trans center is now closing. They said it. She said it quietly announced last week that the clinic where she once worked will, quote, be permanently closed. She was the whistleblower that was incredibly concerned. And isn't she like a lesbian too? So everybody was trying to attack her. And she's like, no, no, no. This is not what any of that's about. She's like, you're literally pumping kids full of hormones. It's so dangerous. And you're doing experimental surgeries. That's not informed consent. So good on her because now they're closing. So kudos to Jamie Reed. Disney World. Okay. I didn't even know this, by the way. And maybe it's because I'm very pure of heart. Look at my halo. Disney World has axed a beloved character over after a 50. This is what gets me. Disney World wants stories about penises and, you know, screwing in elementary schools. But if you have the Country Bear Jamboree, a bear named Liver Lips, it's just too much. It's just too much. I don't even know what this is. It's like a terrifying animatronic crew of singing bears. And they got rid of Liver Lips McGrowl. It's a chubby bear with brown pouty lips. It sounds like a grinder ad. And it was axed from the program. I said that because I read a joke that George Santos just made. It was axed from the program over concerns that his name is offensive. The term Liver Lips describes swollen lips due to excessive alcohol consumption. Are you really? Seriously? I've always wondered where that came from, and I've never actually used that word, that phrase. I've rarely heard it. It comes from that? Liver Lips? It comes from...
Yeah.
Really?
Because you put your liver through so much crap. That's what happens.
And it makes your lips swollen?
Yeah, you get a lot of inflammation, actually.
So I wonder how many people I see on cable news have that problem or just go get lip injections. Just wondering. All right, anyway, I did not even know that, but I just think it's hysterical. Like the books that they want in elementary schools, but that's too much. Gold Bar Bob, we're going to talk about this coming up because he was found guilty of all counts yesterday. He wants to be an independent now, and Democrats want they want to keep his seat. Republicans could take it. We're going to talk about all that coming up as well. Stick with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio for this portion is Gold Co. Precious Metals. They want to make sure that everything that you have worked for your whole life to save for, is protected because who knows what's going to happen. We're still like 100 some odd days out. Anything can still happen at this point, folks. And so you want to make sure that you are preparing yourself, that you're protected. I mean, you've seen what grocery prices have done. Everybody knows like the invisible tax of inflation. I mean, you're paying $7 for a dozen eggs. It's crazy. Join the thousands of people like me who've called Gold Co., the number one rated gold company, Gold Co. Diversify your money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. They got thousands of five-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau, and they understand precious metals ownership, super important part of your retirement saving strategy. And they make it easy for you to do it. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It explains the economy of how gold IRAs work, and they make it easy for you to get it and make it work for you. Dedicated to transparency, no pressure. Visit DanaLikesGold.com and learn how you can get started today. They'll give you a complimentary wealth protection kit that's going to arm you with the facts about precious metals. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Next time anyone says Bidenomics is working, here's what you tell them. 30% of all tax revenue in June went to paying off interest on our national debt. We spent more on interest than Social Security, Health and Human Services, and our own national security.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
And yet this was also showmanship by a politician known for his mastery of what they call unscripted reality TV. Taking this supremely visible seat in the VIP box with his new running mate and party leaders and a longtime TV personality, Tucker Carlson, up there as well last night. Here's how the New York Times put it. On the first night of this convention, Trump was his own biggest prop. He entered the VIP box, a large white bandage on his injured right ear, the result of a close call on Saturday with a would-be assassin's bullet. A reminder of mortality, a badge of survival. It was a blank rectangle on which the crowd could read what it wished. And that made it the most potent placard in the hall. That's fair.
Oh, my gosh.
For delegates to fill in, an image for political mobilization, a spectacle for this candidate who we know is, by his own admission, obsessed with a sorted
turnabout's
spectacles.
Fair play. These rat bastards, if that killer would have lived, they had to put a medal around him at a White House ceremony and stuck him in the front row for the DNC in August. Are you kidding me? Well, you know, they're mad because that's MSNBC. They're mad because he had a bandage on his ear and it reminded everyone that a leftist tried to blow his brains out. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. And that's exactly what it is. They're mad. I have the story, too. What news agency was it? I have it in, I sent it out in headlines and I forgot which one it was. The news agency that was saying that, we don't know if we actually want to continue using the photo of Trump with his fist in the air because that actually, you know, kind of lionizes. This is the same legacy press that for 8 years and even in the months leading up to those 8 years, Barack Obama was in a halo every shot. Kane. I'm not crazy. Nope. Tell the folks that.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Every foot, like he had the logo behind him
Hope,
or something.
Remember Hope?
Yeah.
Remember all those
the
things?
Shepherd
all the
Fairy poster. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Any chance they got to, like, put a halo behind this guy's head, they did it. And then the same media is like, well, I just don't know if we want to continue using the photograph of Trump with his fist in the air because it looks like it could be helpful to him. Are you kidding me? Seriously? I mean, it looks like it could be helpful. It's an iconic photo of when a leftist, and don't give me the whole, well, he was a registered Republican. You mean after donating to Act Blue? Isn't one of his parents a Democrat? And by the way, what does that matter? Because we all know that Republicans love to demonstrate their love for other Republicans by shooting them. You see, like this is stupid. Clearly, he didn't like Trump because usually people who like other people don't try to kill the person that they like. It's pretty elementary, right? So you can sit here and try to fluff everybody with all your other nonsense, but that doesn't work. That dog doesn't hunt. Doesn't work. And also it feeds into the theory that Democrats, not theory, it's a fact. Democrats are telling everyone to go into these closed primaries and register as a Republican and then go and try to destabilize the Trump campaign in the primaries. I mean, that was an actual, they legit talked about doing that and told people how to do it. But the media doing this media. Yeah, they said, oh, we can't. Newsbusters had a roundup of it. Oh, it's a spectacle. He's mining it for support. We just can't. We can't run photos of him. They don't want to run photos of the Trump fist in the air. Because they don't, they like the pure media savvy of the Trump fist, a fist pump photo. And they keep talking about this. Oh, the powerful, it was an unnamed editor. It was over at Axios. And they were the ones who said that it's a photo that could further their agenda, despite the photographer's intent of capturing a news event. That is what that's what they had said. Wow. One photographer said it could become a, quote, propaganda machine and make him a martyr. Again, I will go back to all of the Obama halo photos. All of the Obama, you know, maybe if you didn't want to martyr him, you shouldn't have tried to kill him. Seems pretty elementary, right? Mm-hmm. We're not doing this. By the way, the guy who took this, Evan Vucci, should get, he's an Associated Press. He should get a Pulitzer for this. For that photo. I think he will. Everyone's already saying that he probably will. But that is insane that this is what they are concerned about. They're not concerned about rhetoric. They're not concerned about the fact that, oh, well, people are both sizing it or this is the second time someone tried to gun down Republicans. They're worried about how the photo could actually affect people's perception of Trump. The photo? What about the rhetoric that, I mean, somebody tried to kill Trump? You know, which could be a consequence if you tell people enough that the guy is a, quote, existential threat or that he is a, quote, threat to democracy. By the way, as Jack Black said at a fundraiser, so don't let Jack Black off the hook. Everyone's like, oh, Jack Black is trying to get ahead of this with Tenacious D. STFU. No, he's not. Or UF, right? Yeah. No, FU's right. He's not. He's trying to cover his backside. He spoke at that fundraiser, Kane, and he was like, yeah, if he wins, it's a threat to democracy. He's part of the problem. He's only mad that Kyle Gass has bigger balls than Jack Black, because Kyle Gass said what Jack Black thinks but is too afraid to think or too afraid to say because he wants that money from Hollywood. He wants to fleece everyone and act like he's on both sides of it. No, he thinks the same thing. He said it at a private fundraiser that was hosted by Julia Roberts and George Clooney for Joe Biden back when they realized, I mean, they all knew that Joe Biden was like barely sentient, but they were still going along with the idea until they were caught, right? Now, Jack Black, Kyle Gass, at least, you know what? Kyle Gass is an incendiary jackass, but he has bigger balls than Jack Black because he said what both of them were thinking and both of them believe. So I don't give, I'm not cutting anybody any slack, not at all. No, this, for the media to do this, unbelievable. No, it is believable, actually. Okay, and did you see the guys, I can't remember what that dude's name is on MSNBC. Did you see his face? Well, you know, that's a legitimate fact. No, it's not. It is not, you halfwit. They're worried not because someone tried to murder him, not because news came out that there is an Iranian plot to kill him, but that his ear bandage, by the way, how else do you expect to bandage an ear that's been split in half by an assassin's bullet? You know, all of you medical professionals, they're mad because it's a reminder of what all of this did to him. They're mad. Cry harder. Golly. Just asinine. Absolutely asinine. However much you loathe the media, you don't loathe them enough. Oh, that, the, yeah, the photo editors. And then did you see the other little piece of news here? The killer's parents contacted police because they were worried about him before he started shooting. It was a new report out. The parents of this killer, they had said that they told Fox News, they said they were looking for their son, and when they couldn't find him, they contacted local law enforcement. They indicated he was missing and they were concerned. Now, no one knows what else that they told authorities, but it happened on Saturday, just shortly before he opened fire. They couldn't find him. They're cooperating with authorities, apparently. And they don't know if his parents had any inclination. I think they did, because if they can't find him and then they call police immediately because they're worried about him. Yeah, they knew something. Come on. Occam's razor. And so that's the only thing that we know at this point. But they apparently knew, like, something was up. Something was up. They knew something was going down. And they immediately reached out to law enforcement to let them know. Just as all of this stuff comes up, as more and more things come out. Now, a couple of other things to talk about. Coming up later, we're going to talk to my friend Nick Searcy, because there's an effort on social media. Like, somebody got fired at Home Depot because they said something crappy about the attempted assassination of former President Trump. And there were conservative accounts that found where the guy worked and got him fired and all this stuff. He's like some rando. And now there's like a huge debate on the right about cancel culture in this regard. And I got to tell you, I feel like little to no resistance about going after somebody over an actual attempted assassination, because it's a serious issue in which one father already lost his life. But I do think that there's a difference between someone who's in the public sphere, like a politician or a pundit, and then someone who is like a rando at Home Depot, right? But then at the same time, I can be persuaded, because in my 17 plus years of activism and commentary, the only time that I have ever seen the left flinch when about cancel culture is when those rules are turned around and applied equally to them. The only time I've ever seen them flinch. So I don't know what the alternative is. Like, I'm not both sides in it. And I'm being very genuine about this. I realize that you cannot reason with ideological zealots. That's number one. Because these people don't care about persuasion. They care about destruction. I wrote an entire book about this in Grace Canceled. They only care about destruction. This is not some sort of mechanism to reconciliation for these people, cancel culture. It is about destruction. And it's with anybody. But at the same time, I also think that, well, just because you don't like what someone's speech is, including if it's absolutely depraved, doesn't mean that they should be barred from speaking it, or that, I don't know. It gets into a little like a gray area. And we're going to talk to my friend Nick Searcy about this, because I think it's an interesting topic to explore. And one of the reasons I get a little concerned about it is I don't want good-intentioned people on the right to adopt a tactic of the left and then be stained by it. You know what I mean? I don't want them to, and also, I don't want them to adopt any kind of tactic on the left and then enjoy using it so much that they become completely indistinguishable from the left, which wields it. And I think that's a legitimate concern. But at the same time, I'm at the point where I don't know if I want reconciliation, if I'm being honest. I really don't know. I think it's, I mean, I'm being really honest with you right now. I don't know, because I feel like a lot of these ideological zealots, there's this movie called Warm Bodies. It's an old zombie movie, but you need to go watch it. It's actually a good movie, but there's an underlying theme there, because there are two types of zombies. There are the zombies that can actually be brought back from their zombification by realizing that they still have humanity, and it comes from their interaction with other humans and you know, love and friendship and acceptance. And then there are the zombies who just have embraced the complete lack of humanity that their ailment has afforded them and the destruction it causes. And they call those bonies, and they can never come back. They can never be rehabilitated away from being zombies. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening on the left in a way, right? With the ideological zealotry. And I think with those people, I definitely don't want any kind of reconciliation. It's, you know, there's what do you do? So no, we're going to talk about this with Nick Searcy. Also coming up, a lot of people are mad that Harmeet Dhillon said a Sikh prayer at the RNC. We're going to discuss that coming up. You don't want to miss it. As we move, the people who help bring us free radio, Burn a Gun. They're new to the program, BYRNA, Burn a Gun. It's like a non-firearm firearm. And I don't want people to like misunderstand me. I'm always strapped, right? And I encourage people to go out and carry. But at the same time, I also encourage you to consider options for when you can't. And I would love to indulge myself and never go into a gun-free zone. But in reality, I can't, because sometimes my work requires me to do the opposite. I have some very good friends that work in the media in DC, and they have the very difficult to get concealed carry permits there. But most of 99% of the places they go as required for their jobs, they can't carry. And I know a lot of them actually have gone out and gotten a Burn a Gun because they want to be able to have an option for self-defense. Now, Burn a Gun, if you're unfamiliar with it, like I said, it's like a non-firearm firearm. It's a self-defense option. And it's greater than like what a stun gun is. Like a stun gun, you got like one or two shots. The most popular model of the Burna gun, the Burna SD, it has a 7-round capacity, and it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. You don't have a waiting period or background checks. It's legal in all 50 states. And a lot of law enforcement are starting to use them and incorporate them into their carry because they love having additional options. You can learn more about the Burna gun. Check out all the different projectiles and the models and the accessories, all of that, by going to Byrna.com/Dana. And you can get 10% off of your purchase by going through that website. That's Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA, and get 10% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Speaking. What night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight?
Or one person? No.
Hey, you're not. If you took that stage, you would get booed off. You would get booed off the stage.
That needs to be. They need. So that was Matt Gaetz versus Kevin McCarthy at the RNC last night, and. Remember, Gaetz wanted McCarthy. And then I think Gaetz, so the story is that Gaetz got mad at McCarthy because he was being investigated for like some underage fling. I don't know. That's what the rumor is. And that McCarthy didn't extricate him from that problem. And then Gaetz has a grudge against McCarthy for not using the authority as speaker, for which is apparently the reason, rumoredly, Gaetz supported him for speaker. He didn't use his authority as speaker to save Gaetz from the investigation. And so that's where the grudge comes in, which kind of goes into McCarthy's response to him in this audio soundbite 8. So this is like this. So there's. It's the same situation, but there's three different video perspectives. So this is what McCarthy said after he was interrupted. Listen. So
one who's not coming back. And then the other part that you have, and the other part you have is one person who raised the issue. He's got an ethics complaint about paying, sleeping with a 17-year-old. So that's the way they could go. So that's the biggest challenge we have.
And then somebody confronted Gaetz, audio soundbite 9, and he kind of went away real quick after that. I don't know. Listen to this.
You would get booed off the stage.
Different perspective.
Shut up, kids.
Hey, dude, I don't even know who you are, man.
It doesn't matter what.
And then he walked out because I felt like that guy was going to hit him in the head, right? I sort of felt like that guy was going to deck him. I didn't even know, but he was like, shut up, Gates. And then Gates turns around and then this guy's right there towering down at him. I don't know. It was just, but that was awkward. And apparently that's the rumor. That's what it stems from. It comes from that. So I don't know, like, what?
If anybody's considering getting into the world of politics, you may not want to do it.
People ask me, and you know this over the years, they're like, are you ever going to run for office? And I'm like, do you hate me? And also, I could never represent anyone who would vote for me. I don't want to represent you people. No, that's ignorant. No, how dare you vote for me? No, don't you do that. What's wrong with you? Gladriel and the One Ring. Oh, hit on all before me shall despair. It's completely true.
It's ignorant.
It's so ignorant. So coming up, we got a few things to get into. We're going to talk about cancel culture with my friend Nick Searcy because the right is now, I don't know. I am right in the middle of both of these arguments and I agree with both of them. So I don't know which one wins. Inside you is two wolves. One wants to cancel everyone. And the other wants to cancel only some people. Who wins? The wolf you feed. Anyway, something like that. So we're going to talk about that with Nick Searcy. And then coming up, people are mad at the RNC platform over like the life and stuff. But they're really mad also about the Harmeet Dhillon prayer and Christianity and the corporate church. I don't know. We're going to talk to Joel Berry of Babylon Bee about all of this stuff. Because interesting conversations. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, I see what you're saying, but also there's this. We have a lot more on the way, including all of the latest about the assassin. More developments keep coming, and we'll bring you the latest on those. Second hour on the way. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, Kel-Tec, American-made, Florida-based company. I love Kel-Tec, and you guys know I don't go anywhere not strapped. I love Kel-Tec. They make so many awesome things, and that's a great American success story. And with Kel-Tec, one of the ones that they really are wanting everybody to be aware of, which is why we've been talking about it for months, is the Sub-2K Gen 3. They make a lot of other stuff, but the Sub-2K Gen 3, this carbine folds right in half. It's like gun origami. It's light, it's foldable, it's effective. Now, the difference, there's several differences between the Gen 3 version and the previous iteration. So the Gen 3, you don't have to detach your optics anymore to fold it in half. It just folds in half quick and easy and just as quickly and easily deploys as well. You have an upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort. That lightened action adds for easy racking. You have an ambidextrous bolt hold open. All quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything that Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself by hitting up their website, KelTecWeapons.com. Follow them on social media. That's KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
As a father, I am alarmed that the current president of the United States lacks the capability to discharge the duties of his office. Our enemies do not confine their designs to between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. We need a commander-in-chief who can lead 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. America cannot afford 4 more years of a weekend at Bernie's presidency.
That was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis speaking last night at the RNC. He had a great speech. And the former president was laughing and he had applauded him and all that. So see, look, everybody's getting along. You guys need to. Because you want to win against the Democrat machine. Right now, they're arguing over Trump's bandage. So, you know, people need to be getting along. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the top of the second hour and coming up later at the bottom. My friend Nick Searcy is going to be joining me. We're going to be talking about the cancel culture and all this other stuff. A lot of good stuff to hit. So, the RNC, a couple of things that we're going to, because we've been talking about all the latest details with the assassin. More information coming out, the Iranian plot that Secret Service was made aware of to assassinate Trump, no known connection to the shooting that took place, the attempted assassination on Saturday, and how the parents apparently were aware that something was up and they had called law enforcement when they couldn't find their son. And so, like, clearly something's, you know, there's a lot more that we haven't been made aware of yet. So we've been covering all this. And of course, you can listen coast to coast terrestrially. Find us on Rumble. That's where the chat is. Also on X, everywhere, Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Now, in addition to all of this, I want to talk for a moment about the RNC itself and the platform and all the fighting that's been happening about this. So I do think, let me preface everything I'm about to say with this. I think that it's important for the RNC to talk a little, to explain to people a little bit more about coalition building. And we talked about this yesterday, and I have a piece up at Substack about it, how there's a difference between a coalition and a party. A party is everything that you know, a Republican is condensed down into the sheerest platform principle. A coalition is the Big Tent. A lot of people say Big Tent, but they don't understand what that means. That's, you know, just slang for coalition. You're building a coalition, meaning you're building a team. You have your party, and then you're allying yourself with people who may not agree with you 100% on everything. There may be people who agree with you more than they agree with the left, but some of the issues with which they disagree might be on abortion or something else. Or, you know, I mean, I think there's some big issues that I will not take any disagreement over. And that it's very difficult for me to ally myself with a gun control person. It's just never going to happen. And it depends on what the most motivating issue that you have is. And some people it's, you know, taxation. Some people it's, you know, I don't know. It's like the issues differ. And then I have other issues that are concerning as well. Like life is a concerning issue. There wasn't any mention of firearms or Second Amendment in the RNC platform. Now, that could be just oversight, or it could be because it's not an issue that's ranking, you know, as a major issue for voters going into this election cycle. But that being said, you know, we got some Supreme Court cases coming up next term that are going to be supremely important. So to me, it seems like a bit of a loss to not have that covered, to not have that affirmed or mentioned in the platform. But a lot of people are saying, oh, my goodness. And we're going to talk to Joel Berry with Babylon Bee about this coming up in our third hour. People are saying, well, you know, there's not so much an emphasis on, you know, Christianity, and they cited abortion because the language has been modified. I mean, it is a more moderate platform compared to previous convention platforms. That much is inarguable. But it also could be because, and I'm not excusing, I'm analyzing this. It could be because the RNC is looking to use this convention as a coalition exercise, a coalition building exercise, which if that's the case, I think a lot of this confusion and arguing could be solved by them just actually clarifying that and being clear on that. And they're not. And that's a major problem. That's a messaging problem if they're not doing that. You know, you had Amber Rose who gave a speech on the RNC stage, and a lot of people were mad. They're like, oh, this porn star that has an OnlyFans, and, you know, is a stripper, and she founded the Slut Walk and all this other stuff. I get the argument from people that this is someone who is there to reach out and bring more eyeballs from the non-traditional Republican voter perspective. And I think that that is a legitimate thing to acknowledge. But as I said the other day, not prefacing her appearance as we're building a coalition has made people think, oh my gosh, she's like representative of the RNC now. And even though she said, and I'm not defending her, and I don't agree with her on a lot, but even though she said to the contrary, the other thing that I actually thought was more concerning than Amber Rose was that Sean O'Brien guy, the Teamsters guy. I don't know if you heard some of the stuff that he said. He's talking about some serious big government stuff. He went after capitalists. He went after, he used the language of the left, talking about, you know, big corporations and all this other stuff. And I heard some of those remarks and I thought, my gosh, I can't believe that that's on stage at the RNC. That's the thing that got me, because what she said wasn't, hers was more about, this is what I agree with. And then the Sean O'Brien guy came out on stage and was saying that too, but then used a lot of this language of the left. And I know that there were people in that audience that were like kind of looking around at each other, because you can see it on camera. There were lawmakers who were like that too. That was concerning to me. And I realized that they're trying to coalition build, but to assure their base, the RNC has got to do a better job of clarifying that in messaging. You can't have a mess, because now you got members, you have the people who are hardcore Republicans. They don't go to conventions, but they got questions and they're arguing over a lot of this stuff. Now, there was also a lot of a huge blow up about Harmeet Dhillon, who's been on the program before. a lot of people who are mad at her for giving a, she's a Sikh Republican, S-I-K-H, and she's Indian American. She led a prayer at the RNC, and people were mad because she was giving like a Sikh prayer. And she had a shawl and she was, you know, giving this prayer, and she's a religious liberty lawyer. And a lot of people thought that they said that that's satanic, and, you know, because she had said one of her phrases was, you know, the one true God and all of this, which you have to understand with the Sikh religion, as I understand it, they think everyone has the same God. So they're not being discriminatory by excluding, you know, the Christian doctrine, etc. I think a lot of people might be reading a lot in that, but I didn't have a problem with her doing that. There are Catholics who get up and lead prayer. There are Baptists who get up and lead prayer. There are non-denominationals. Everybody, there's like, they have somebody come up and I've been to a ton of conventions, not a ton. I've been to like 4 or 5 conventions, and they always have people like multiple times throughout the day, you know, at different points when people are speaking, someone goes up and leads a prayer before lunch. Someone goes up and leads a prayer before the evening ceremony. Someone, they open it with a prayer, and it's an opportunity for all of these different, you know, different faiths represented in the Republican Party to come out, which is what people need to remember. The Republican Party is not your church. Your church is your church. Your pastor is your pastor. Your politician isn't your pastor. The president isn't your pastor. That's not saying that you don't expect them to have high standards, but don't treat it like the church, because it is, you have a church. Stop making people shepherds that are not shepherds. Number one. Number two, I had no problem with, they've had like Jewish leaders go up and offer prayer. I mean, that is not unusual at a convention. I just don't know why people are mad about it right now. That's been happening at conventions forever. You have to remember that, like America, the Republican Party is a multi-ethnic entity. It's an entity of many different faiths that come together on policy positions, some of which are the result of cultural moves, but they're policy positions. It's pluralistic. And to suddenly, I don't know if people haven't been paying attention before or not, to say that incorporating people who are coming from other aspects of faith or different faiths and coming up and they're offering their prayer here, that's not excluding Christians or Christianity or watering down Christianity. Not everybody who's a Republican is a Christian. That is a myopic view. And it's one that the left tries to promote. So I don't know why anyone on the right is trying to carry that banner. The Republican Party is not just a bunch of Baptists that get together and treat this as like the second Baptist convention. It's not what this is. And I'm going to tell you, the United States itself, and there was a letter that I think it was John Adams, I have it saved somewhere, that he had written to a group of Jewish leaders like back in the 1700s, where he was talking about faith and the freedom to worship and all of this other stuff. And Thomas Jefferson had even gone over that in a letter to a group of Danbury Baptists. And that's where he got, you know, freedom from people always talk about freedom of religion and separation of church and state. He kind of like had that as like a dictum in his letter to this group of Danbury Baptists when he was talking about how the United States isn't under a denomination. It's not ruled by a denomination. It is just, you know, you have Christian principles that influence the founders' writing of our of the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, keeping the rights out of the jurisdiction of man and putting them under the jurisdiction of the divine so that they cannot be polluted, perverted, or removed. That being said, you got to build a coalition if you want to win. And you have to realize the United States is a melting pot. I know the left loves to say that that's like a slur or something now because they want everyone divided and they don't want everyone to realize that our one commonality is we want freedom. So they try to keep everybody focused on all this other identity politic nonsense. But, you know, the way that it is that the United States is a giant melting pot. So it makes sense that our party would reflect that. The party is about policy and it's about coming together. How can we enact policy and remain free through policy that we are enacting? And that's the purpose of this convention, is figuring out the best people to go forward, getting what the ideals are going forward for that election cycle, etc. So it's not weird that people of other faiths would be stepping up to the podium and leading a prayer. That's always happened. I've been at conventions. I've seen it a million times. That's not unusual. And it's reflective of the pluralistic society in which we live. And it also shows, I think, how diverse the Republican Party is, how diverse the right is, that the left and the media never want to give them credit for. You know, people, I thought it was weird to that point. I thought it was weird that everyone was making such a big deal about Amber Rose being black or being biracial and speaking at the RNC. Well, my gosh, you had Mark Robinson speaking at the RNC. You had John James speaking at the RNC. You had Tim Scott. They all spoke the same night. You had Tim Scott speaking at the RNC. The party and the right do not get credit for the diversity that it already has. Don't carry the left's banner for them. Now, we have a lot more to hit. We've got headlines on the way. And then we're going to talk to my friend Nick Searcy about the cancellation thing. And then, of course, all of the latest with regard to the assassin Democrats, because there was a Zoom call that they had the other day, very tense Zoom call yesterday. We're going to get into all of that and more as we move. Turbocharging your metabolism has never been simpler thanks to the innovative handheld metabolic coach Lumen. This revolutionary device empowers you to optimize your metabolism efficiently and effortlessly. And with Lumen, you can master the strategies to keep your metabolism humming at its best. Now, Lumen is a breath-based metabolic tracker. You breathe into the Lumen at the start of your day to get a metabolism snapshot and a personalized nutrition plan. And then the app tells you if you're burning fat or carbs. You can get customized tips for nutrition, workouts, sleep, stress. Lumen helps you to know with real data what your body needs. Now, your metabolism is your body's rocket engine. It powers everything that you do. And with Lumen, you can expect easier weight management, balanced energy, fitness gains, and find it easier to go to sleep. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, visit lumen.me/Dana Show and get 15% off of your Lumen. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. One word for 15% off your purchase. That's lumen.me/Dana Show. And thanks to Lumen for sponsoring this episode.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So because the EU is just a giant vacuum of suck, they've demanded that cars be fitted with speed limiting AI tech. But there is a loophole about it, The Sun reports. All cars have to be fitted with the speed-limiting AI tech due to new EU rules, and it can't slow the vehicle down for you if it catches you breaking the speed limit, in which case I hate AI now, even more than I ever did. It's called Intelligent Speed Assistance, which is your nanny speedometer. The speedometer nanny, that's what it is. It became a legal requirement because the EU decided to pass a law because they hate humanity, and it came into effect on July 7th. So they use AI, GPS data, even onboard cameras to assess your speed in real time as you drive along, and then intervenes if you go above the limit. What if, like, you're being chased by a bullet bill type truck loaded with, like, explosives, and you've got a speed to get out of the way, and then AI is like, no, and slows you down? Like, what if, you know, there's like all these what ifs. And it can assess things like road markings, all this stuff. I think this is so stupid. This is so dumb. Maybe you guys should get, I don't know, like your country's getting entirely taken over by people who are entering illegally and like they're raping everybody out in the street. I don't know, your taxes are crazy. Like you can't even pay anything towards your own GDP for your own self-defense. Maybe, I don't know, get all that in order first before you start freaking out over speed. Anyway, exclusive 4 in 5 Americans, says this new poll. 4 in 5 Americans fear the country is sliding into chaos. It's only 4 in 5? Only? I would think 5 out of 5. The interesting story, and by the way, this is why the right is with the RNC and their platform have been working towards blue collar, because they said the influx of people coming into the country is cooling the U.S. job market, considering that a lot of it's illegal entry. And of course, all the jobs, remember the jobs created? Government jobs? Yeah, uh-huh, exactly. 5,000 feral pigs were killed to save a California national park. The Channel Islands National Park was dominated by all kinds of tiny foxes, and then they got pigs and all kinds of stuff. This is a horrible article that was written over at San Francisco Gate, because they don't even know how to write a balanced lead. But basically, They said that, you know, the wild pigs, they had to cull them. They had to deal with them. But yet I was told that that wasn't a problem, like in rural parts of the country. When you bring it up as to why you need like X caliber of rifle, and the left is like, there's no feral hogs. Where the red fern grows isn't a real story. Remember, we got a lot more on the way. Nick Searcy joins us on Cancel Culture Mania. Because should we do it on the right? Listen, I usually take my coffee. You know, I like it black and bitter like my heart. And I have my Black Rifle coffee. I had two cups this morning. Two cups. And it's can count like they count. It's great coffee. It tastes good. They have the best roasts that are out there. And it's better tasting than like the overpriced stuff you're going to find anywhere else. And unlike some of these little these coffee companies, they actually roast their stuff here in the US of A. All these other people are like faking you out. They white label their stuff that they roast in foreign countries with foreign workers. And then they bring it in the US of A and act like they roasted it here. They don't. Black Rifle Coffee does, though. And they do it all throughout the week. And they employ veterans and active duty. And they do it in Tennessee and Utah. They have their amazing roast. Variety of choices, too. Ground whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. Join that coffee club. And you're going to get your coffee, your roast, frequency of shipment, and it arrives free shipping right to your doorstep so you never run out of coffee. You can see it for yourself today, all of the different roasts that they have, the best out there. BlackRifleCoffee.com. Order today and get an additional 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off with code Dana at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Are you Darcy Waldron? Yeah? Okay, from Cayuga. And you think that the shooter should have been a better shot? Is that what you posted on Facebook?
I am at work.
You think that the shooter should have been a shooter, huh? Yeah, I think that's pretty messed up. Pretty anti-American, if you ask me. As a veteran, I'm disgusted. What have you provided to this country? Huh? I'm sorry. This is ridiculous. You are ridiculous. And I'm making you famous.
I don't know if this is a real quote or not, but was it Mike Tyson who said that some of the people, you know, they're real brave and they say some of the stuff online because they don't get hit in the face or something to that effect? I just feel like people are always super brave online, but then in person, they get real meek, you know, and they kind of cower. And that's what, so this lady was at Home Depot and she made a stupid remark about the attempted assassination of the former president, potential next president of the United States. You know, this is not, I just think out of all the things you're going to joke about and say something asinine about, maybe not that. And now there's this like huge argument on the right now about cancel culture. And I am, in this instance, I think I'm legit right in the middle because I told you guys last hour, yeah, I don't know if I want reconciliation. I really don't. I really don't think so. Because I've been targeted by cancel culture. A lot of my friends have been targeted by cancel culture. And the only time in my 17 plus year career in as an activist or as, you know, part of the commentariat that I've ever seen the left flinch has been when these rules have been used against them. And then they're all of a sudden, oh, well, you know, maybe I should take inventory of this. I wanted to talk to my friend Nick Searcy about this because he made a really good point. And all of my friends are arguing about this. But I feel like Nick Searcy has a little bit more gravitas with this because he's literally under the microscope in Hollywood. Everybody knows who he is. He's lived through all of this. He's been able to thrive in spite of all of this. He's got a book out, Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. You know, he was behind Capital Punishment, the movie. And he's, you know, writer, director. Everybody knows who Nick is. He made this response because my friend Kurt Schlichter said, there's controversy about this because it's unpleasant, but we've been betraying our own powerless people if we don't use the power we have to protect them. And Nick wrote, yes, damn right, my friend, they made these rules and it's time. Now it's their turn to not pass go and go directly to jail or the unemployment line. And he joins me now via Skype. Nick, always so good to see you. I mean, am I wrong in that? Like, I'm in the middle of it and I feel like maybe randos and politicians should be measured differently. But at the same time, how long have we dealt with this? How long have people on the right been targeted by people on the left and had their livelihoods upended and have their characters impugned because of stuff like this?
At least since the election of Obama and since when Trump, you know, the January 6th event, I know so many people in Hollywood whose lives were ruined by the COVID mandates that they dared to question the vaccine. And so many actors that, you know, you might not know their names. They're not as famous as a big star like me. But, you know, there's guys like Jay Johnston, fired from his show, Bob's Burger, immediately after it was revealed that he was at January 6th. All of his Hollywood friends, he was very well connected, worked with people like Jack Black and Bob Odenkirk. All of them shut him down, turned him off, canceled. My friend Siaka Massaqua, same thing, lost his agent, lost everything. And the fact of the matter is, Dana, we on the right can't cancel anybody. The thing that happened to Jack Black's people, that guy being dropped by his agent, that's his own fear-based leftist agent canceling him. We can't do it. I can't cancel Bob De Niro any more than I've already canceled him, any more than I've just said I'm not going to put any more money in that guy's pocket. But we don't have the power. The only way this stops is when the left stops doing it. So until they stop doing it, we need to do it right back to them.
That's a really good point. And one that Kane was talking about too on break. Like, we had, like, the right kind of has the power of the purse. And we, as you just said, I mean, as most as you can do is to not put your money in other people's pockets, but they control these cultural institutions.
Absolutely right. I know, even in my own experience, I mean, I have certainly not suffered as much as some people. But in my own experience, right after it was, you know, January 6th, I got a call from my agent. I just, you know, my agent who never calls me, he says, I just got a call from a casting director, says that you were in the building. Were you in the building? And I go, no, why? He said, she has a picture of somebody she says is you, and she's circulating it throughout all of the other casting directors in Hollywood, telling people, you know, Nick Searcy went in the building. We should never hire him again. And this casting director was a good friend of mine, somebody I had known for 25 years. So that I don't know how much, a lot of the actors in Hollywood certainly don't know how much of a price they've paid. Some of them do. Like, I don't know how many roles that, you know, I might have done.
Right.
But I don't want to focus on that because I'm grateful for what I have. And I'm glad that I'm able to stand up for what I believe. And yeah. But I have no sympathy for these people, if you can grasp that from my passion.
I couldn't tell from this Peabody Award-winning actor. I couldn't tell that he had no sympathy for him. We're talking with our good friend Nick Searcy. In this instance, like you mentioned the Jack Black thing, and I don't know why people, I saw immediately Jack Black had his, it looked like, I guess, his machine try to rehabilitate him. But he was at that Los Angeles fundraiser for Biden, what, a week ago, where he was recorded on stage saying that he thought that the former president was a threat to democracy, which are, I guess that's just a meaningless slogan to them. But apparently, you know, it carries weight because someone tried to kill Trump on Saturday. So why? Kyle Gass just had the balls to say what they both thought.
Yeah, they just said it out loud because they think nothing will ever happen to them. And, you know, that's the thing. What do they think is going to happen when they demonize a whole group of people? They call Trump Hitler. They call him a threat to democracy over and over again. He's a racist. He's a Nazi. He's Hitler. What's the biggest question anybody ever asked? The biggest hypothetical. If you had the chance to go back in time and kill Hitler, would you do it? You know, that's the question. So they call him Hitler for 8 years, and then somebody tries to kill him and they act shocked.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Talking with our friend Nick Searcy, this woman with Home Depot, do you think that there's a difference between like the Jack Blacks or like the Adam Schiffs? And then I don't even know this lady's name at Home Depot. I mean, should we incorporate like different measures, or is it just like one? Because I'm this is where I get torn, like on randos versus people who are in the public sphere, because I agree with both sides of this. I don't know if I want, honestly, reconciliation with anyone. I feel like, we've been through this. We've endured it for so long. And like I said, the only way that the left takes notice is when we use these rules against them. Why is it incumbent upon us to be the people who are always the merciful people and always the one who take the licks? I mean, should we apply these different standards if it's a rando versus like a politician or a celebrity?
I say no. I say no because I think of all the randos on our side that have been tortured by these people for 8 years, that have been run out of their jobs. They're afraid to wear their MAGA hat because they know what will happen to them. They're afraid to put a Trump sticker on their truck because they know somebody will key it. I say we have to treat all of them exactly the way they've been treating us so that they know what it is. So that they have a moment of self-reflection rather than just constantly projecting their hatred onto us and making us the only ones that pay the price. Let them pay the price.
My only concern in the right is not because for the left. I'm not concerned about the left. Are you worried about using the left's tactics that we would become more like them? Because I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I can state it as like a concern, but I don't know what's in people's minds or hearts. And I don't know if we would ever, I can't see the right becoming like the left in that regard.
No, I don't fear that at all, because we have most, for the most part on the right, we have a higher power that we tend to moderate our behavior because of that. They don't have that on the left. They don't care. They're willing to do anything because they think that the power means everything. They're right by any means necessary. That's one of their slogans. So no, we're not going to be like them. Even if we fight the same way they fight, it's like, you know, if somebody challenges you to a fight, you bring the same weapon that he brings. There's no way you're going to have a fight if you, you know, you're just going with your fists and he has a flamethrower. You know, that is just the way it works. So
I think that
I hope
makes
that
sense.
Answers the question.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it does. You mentioned too that the left's the only really, that's, they're the only people who can stop this. And I know that there are like some people out there like Jerry Seinfeld, who I know we don't agree with on everything, on some of the woke and cancel culture. He said some things and I'm like, okay, that's pretty reasonable. You know, I agree. It seems like he's getting it. But he's obviously not enough. What is it going to take? Because apparently, like they've been targeting him at his stand-up routines because of some of the stuff that he said against cancel culture. So how? I mean, at what point do more of them speak out, or is it just they see what people like Seinfeld or these other guys go through, and they're like, okay, that's it. I'm not going to say anything.
They have to be beaten. I mean, and I mean that electorally. I don't mean physically, but they have to be defeated. That's the only way. And the way you do it, the only way they will wake up is when they realize that the tactics they've been using on us can be used on them.
Yeah.
That's the only way they will ever wake up. And that's why I say no mercy. No, you know, forgiveness is one thing. I can forgive them in my heart, but they can still suffer the consequences of what they've done.
Do you just maybe think of something? Do you think that that's what happened with the Kyle Gass thing where his agent dropped him? Do you think that that was sort of them realizing, oh, is that an effect of this, of that accountability? Because you said that, you know, they were afraid of, I guess, being associated with what he had said, and so they wanted to get away from him. Is that maybe like a success? Would you count it as a success of the right kind of using that tactic against the left, and so they just decided to act of their own accord?
I don't want to give them too much credit. I think that they probably just reacted out of fear. They're just like, oh, this is bad. We need to get away from this. It's bad. Everybody says it's bad. Let's get away. That's the way Hollywood works. They don't really think anything past their own self-interest, especially on the agency side.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's what that I don't think they're having a moment of revelation or anything.
That's a good point. One last question for you. My good friend Nick Sears, you're so kind to join us. Because we were like, we got to have Nick on today after what we were all talking about online. The president is going to be speaking on Thursday. And I don't know if he had an address already figured out, but it said that I read one report where they kind of went back to the drawing board and they were going to craft something that was a little bit more, obviously a little bit more about maybe unity. I don't know what that would sound like, but if for Trump to come out and make remarks about, what are you anticipating Thursday? Like if he was talking about unity, how would that sound?
You know, I don't know. I think his speech is the most anticipated thing, at least for me personally. I haven't looked forward to anything like this for a long time. I think what happened on Saturday when I saw him react the way that he did, I burst into tears. And I was so moved by his courage to stand up after somebody tried to kill him and do that. I don't know. It'll be... I can't answer that. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what he's going to say. But I will say that when I saw him walk in on that first day of the RNC, to me, he looked visibly emotional and visibly moved.
It was unusual. He was very moved.
And I think he's having a realization that he's still alive and God kept him alive for a purpose.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the I think that is going to be expressed by his speech on Thursday.
That's a speech that you and many others, I don't know if there's ever been a speech at a convention so anticipated as this one. And we're going to see exactly what the president says. My good friend Nick Searcy, make sure you go and get his book because it's out now and you can find it anywhere books are sold. Justify This Career Without Compromise. And make sure you check out Capital Punishment, his movie. And you can find him, you know, on X. Yes, Nick Searcy. I almost said Twitter. Nick, so good to see you. God bless you, my friend. So appreciate you joining us.
God bless you, Dana. Okay,
Take care. Do you guys remember back in 2020 when store shelves were empty and nobody could find ammunition? That was such a bummer. Actually, it sucked out loud. Nobody liked that. It was hard to find stuff. Like, we were calling up all these different retailers like, do you guys have any coming in? Do you guys have this coming in? Well, what if you didn't have to worry about that? So this is where Ammo Squared comes in. They can help you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Like, you never have to worry about it. So it's truly automated. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program. I've never been more happy about anything automatic before in my life, you know, other than, you know, automatic rifles. Pick your calibers, you set your budget, you select a shipping trigger, and that's it. And then your ammo builds up over time and it's delivered automatically when you want it. And then as the ammo builds up in your account, it's stored for free in their super swanky climate controlled warehouse. It's secure, it's insured, it's safe from threats until you want it. Especially in these tough times with rising crime, this is a very budget-friendly way to ensure that you always have ammunition when you need it. It's customizable to your budget. Build your stockpile. It's like contributing to a savings account or a 401k. And it was started in Idaho in 2015. They have over 30,000 customers across the country. It's Ammo Squared, a unique way to get your ammunition. Buy low, dollar cost average over time, then cash out when prices rise, or take delivery and skip the high prices in the market. It's awesome. There's no minimum to buy, no memberships, no extra fees. You can buy ammo on a small budget. Watch it grow. Visit them at ammosquared.com/Dana to get started and get free ammo when you sign up. That's ammosquared.com/Dana to sign up and get your free ammo.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, this is, I'm doing the second story first because it's ridiculous. Who doesn't love a good Almond Joy, though, by the way? Like, Almond Joy is a delicious candy bar. It's delicious. We all know this. Don't think I'd react like this, though. All right. So the story goes that, and this is this, it's this sheriff who said that, it's Sheriff Grady Judd. So what happened is he says that it's a grandmother to grandson. The grandmother buys an Almond Joy candy bar for her Florida grandson. And she left it because he was asleep. So she left it on his laptop, his computer. So left it on his laptop. Well, then it melted. And then he saw that the Almond Joy melted on his laptop. And he got mad and ran over his grandma.
What?
In Winter Haven, Florida. Oh, and then he had to get shot.
Ran over.
Henry Maynard. Oh. By the way, he has two first names. And you guys know how I feel about that. Polk County Sheriff's deputy says that Henry Maynard, 19, he was at his grandma's house in Winter Haven. Grandma let that Almond Joy on his candy bar, on his laptop. It melted. He woke up, saw it, and he went into a rage. Then he ran to his parents' house, got a car, which he's not supposed to drive because it wasn't registered, didn't have a license. Grandmother called the parents. They rushed over to the house. Maynard called 911, said he's about to commit a crime. And then he ran over his grandma. And then he hit a patrol car of the deputy who had responded to the situation. Then, because we're not finished, he ran to the driver's side of the deputy's car, started trying to climb inside the car, and the deputy shot him and killed him. Sheriff Grady Judd said he was out of control. Clearly, he was previously arrested for aggravated battery of a law enforcement officer. The grandmother's in the hospital with a broken arm, but she's in stable condition. Yeah. Wow. So that's that guy.
Lord.
Over a melted. I mean, can I just, if you have the time to run physically with your feet to your parents' house to get a car to drive over your grandma at any point, does the rage just subside and you're like, the hell am I doing? You know, and you just kind of stop, right? At any point, like for a normal person, you might think, yeah, okay. I don't know. All right. So I know, gosh, there's so many that are good here. Okay. A Florida man was accused of hiding stolen Walmart items in the bushes outside of the store. It's his hidey spot in the Villages. It is a Villages story. A 37-year-old man was arrested after he allegedly stole over $300 worth of Walmart merchandise and tried to hide it in the bushes right outside the store, according to Sumter County Sheriff's Office. Jabari Bush is facing three counts of larceny and one count of dealing in stolen property after the incident that unfolded in Walmart. Deputies responded. The loss prevention officer said the man had left the store with a shopping cart full of merchandise and then hid it in the bushes. They found it. It was a mini electric dirt bike, two pairs of work boots, baby items in a pool. Tomorrow we'll talk about the woman who flipped off surveillance cameras, crashed through a school gate for special needs students, and did donuts in the basketball court before running down wheelchairs at 50 miles an hour. We'll talk about her tomorrow. Stay with us. Third hour on the way. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
We're going to bring rents down. As I said, we're going to build 2 million affordable homes. And cap rent increases of 5% a year, so corporate landlords can't God. Anyway, I don't want to get going.
What?
I'm going to get very upset.
What? Can't. What? What did he say there? Can't what? Can I hear it one more time? I'm sorry, Juan. Sorry, everybody. I need to hear it one more time where I can go. Just go ahead and play it one more time.
We're going to bring rents down, as I said. We're going to build 2 million affordable homes. And cap rent increases of 5% a year, so corporate landlords can't. God. Anyway, I don't want to get going. I'm going to get very upset.
He got stuck on the word gouge?
Maybe? Girl.
Good.
Girl. What? I don't know what he said. He's going to build 2 million affordable homes. With what? Right. Money?
Right.
What do you mean affordable? Hey, what the hell
affordable?
Does that mean?
What's affordable anymore?
Hey, guess what? We already have a bunch of homes, and you can make them affordable by just, I don't know, stopping the inflation and stop taxing us to death. Yes. Those are just some ideas. Follow me for more tips. Welcome back to the program. I've had a lot of caffeine today. I didn't mean to, but I just did. I just kept getting, like, my Black Rifle coffee. I just kept getting more. So I can't be held responsible. And then they had the new Super Beats thing out, the new product that Kane says I can't pronounce properly. Super Burring.
That's close.
Yeah, it's close. And I feel like I'm going to go out and steal Baby Dog from the RNC and just like beat up all Jim Justice's security people and take his dog and run away and like lift up and throw cars in the parking lot.
Tarnish the name of Baby Dog.
Gosh. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this third hour. And we got a lot today. We're going to have my friend Joel Berry on from Babylon Bee because we're going to talk about all the religious stuff because there's a big old debate over all that. And then, but that was Joe Biden, though, at the NAC, NAAC.
That's right.
Golly, I don't want to just think about what he thinks that means. That's ignorant. I think Baby Dog at the RNC sounded more coherent than Joe Biden. Don't you think so? Joel, see Baby Dog? Some people were like, I can't believe this. This is such like, just come on, unclench your butt for 5 seconds. It's a dog, okay? Yes, I love dogs. And Baby Dog and Jim Justice are kind of like America's Wallace and Gromit, like real life, aren't they?
Like every time he's on TV, he's got the dog, it seems like.
Yeah, like that dog goes everywhere. That dog looks like it needs maybe to go on a diet, though.
Oh, sure.
And I love the fact that its name is just Baby Dog, and it's not actually a baby dog anymore.
Hey, Baby Dog. Yeah. Come here.
It's like,
come on, Baby Dog.
He cracks me up, but that he, like, there was a picture of it that, of Baby Dog, of the, I love how this is described by the New York Times. This is literally a caption of a photo. I don't know why I've laughed at this all day so far today. This is what the caption says. It's very Milkshake Duck-esque. All right, it reads this. I don't know why this cracks me up, but it does. It reads this way, quote, "Baby dog, a plump bulldog who is apparently a Republican."
We all love baby dog till we found out she was a Republican.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like they were real excited about it. And then they're like, well, baby dog is apparently, it's a baby dog, a plump bulldog who is apparently a Republican. And it had, baby dog had a chair and everything. Oh, yeah. And they said, right on cue, out came baby dog, a plump bulldog, plopped by a human helper into a cushy armchair. He's from West Virginia. So, and then now there's like all about baby dog. I don't even know how old this dog is, but anyway, this dog is hysterical. And it just, you know.
You have any Secret Service agents that dog bit?
None.
Exactly.
I mean, because, you don't see baby dog out there biting people.
Nope.
No. Baby dog is an English bulldog. It's a girl dog. This is not baby dog speaking, but it's like audio of like Jim Justice. He brought baby dog on stage. Go ahead and play this. I'll do somebody 10.
With all that being said, I know that a lot of you want to meet my little buddy. So if baby dog could come on out here.
They're similarly shaped. He's got a whole Boris Johnson thing happening with him right now. And there's baby dog. Careful how you pick. I mean, baby dog is chonky. Look at that. Baby dog is chonky, dude. And they're both sitting there. They look at each other and then they look at the audience, and it's actually hysterical. Look at baby dog. I love that dog. I don't know. I saw that dog and I was like, I want to see that dog. That dog is already like more coherent than Joe Biden. Compare that to like Joe Biden's dog. How many dogs do they go through biting everybody?
3 or 4.
Jiminy. All those dogs just biting. The Secret Service would literally, like, when they would switch off for shifts, they'd be like, have a safe shift, knowing that one of them was going to get mauled by the Biden's dogs. Golly. But there were some people who were just, like, really, like, well, this is a serious issue. Why does Jim Justice have a dog on? Unclench your butt for 5 seconds. Everything is hell. Give us just a minute, please. Give us a minute. Or we're going to play more Biden audio for you. That's what will happen. So J.D. Vance is expected to speak tonight at the RNC, and Texas Governor Greg Abbott is going to be speaking. I don't really watch it. I just like watch the hits, you know. Although I will say that the moment I found out, because I was still working when Baby Dog was on stage, I did actually go and watch that. I'm not going to lie, like I legit did. Why are you laughing, dude? You know me.
Because it's the most pure thing in politics ever.
Everybody is a whore, and I feel like we're in, you know.
I wasn't gonna go that
Sodom
far.
And Gomorrah or something, and I'm like, just give us a pure something pure. Right. And baby dog was like, you know,
like the palate cleanser.
Chonky of all this little dog,
horrible tasting politics.
Or as New York Times said, the plump little bulldog, just sitting up there. But her name is Baby Dog,
and apparently. She's a Republican.
And yeah, New York Times was very upset to inform you that Baby Dog, the plump bulldog on stage at the RNC, is in fact a Republican. Well, what tipped that off? What tipped you off about that? That it was at the RNC? That she's owned by Jim Justice, who's a Republican? I mean, what is it? What? No, Jim Justice is going to have a Democrat. But if that dog was a Democrat, it'd be biting everybody's arms off.
No, she's got clearly a voting record that reflects...
I mean, yeah, clearly that dog is a conservative. That dog's a Republican, you can tell. All right. So I thought it was a nice little break from the awfulness, right? I thought it was a nice break from that, especially when we're like getting, you know, you have the assassination attempt that was on Saturday and then, you know, all the reaction and all of this other stuff. I get what people are saying too, and a quick note on this, because I've already been getting a lot of feedback on this. A quick note, because some people were asking about, you know, should there be a difference between, you know, a private citizen, because there were conservative accounts going after that lady at Home Depot who said something stupid. She said something stupid. And I'm honestly, like, I'm in the middle, because I think I would be less so if it wasn't about the assassination of a former president. And one of the accounts that I follow, who I think is fascinating, Grums, who is, you know, like an OG gamer, like a game dev, and has, like, really pointed out a lot of good stuff. Grums was noting all of the people, like, for instance, just in gaming alone, that have been canceled. Like, they canceled the OK gesture from Call of Duty, and several people who used it, including a Mexican-American electrician, got fired from his work because he used it. They found this guy, and they ran down his work, and they got him fired. They canceled another guy's website because they didn't like what he had said. He didn't say anything ignorant. Like, they went after the guy who created Minecraft, Notch. And all he did on November 2017 was tweet, "It's okay to be white," and he got canceled. Yeah. And they've pretty much removed him, most references from the original creator of Minecraft, from all of it. They've tried to cancel so many people. Like, they went after one guy and tried to take his games away because he made a Steam curator page that was anti-woke. Not even mean, just anti-woke. There was a guy, Troy Levitt, who was forced to quit because he was canceled. And this is from Grums. He was canceled because he made a YouTube video about his opinions against third wave feminism, right? As it relates to, like, the Hogwarts legacy nonsense. Or the guy who created Oculus, he got canceled and fired from Facebook because he literally donated to a billboard. He donated a few bucks to a billboard that was in support of Trump. And he got canceled. They ran him down and canceled him. The guy who created Five Nights at Freddy's, they found Scott Cawthon's donations to Trump. He, as a private citizen, donated to Trump, the Trump campaign, the guy who created Five Nights at Freddy's, and they canceled him. They went out and they hounded him out of the industry. They literally hounded him out of an industry. They canceled Grums because he had a group photo of game developers, and it didn't have a female in it. And they canceled him for that. So when you look at the history, and that's just in gaming. I'm not talking about CNN finding, and I know you guys remember this, the elderly, she was like in her 70s. She had created a Facebook page about, it was a niche Facebook page. You remember what it was called? It was something like Old Ladies in Florida Who Like Trump. Something really innocuous. That wasn't the title of it, but it was kind of like that. And CNN found her because she was speaking out against Joe. Was this Hillary Clinton back during the 2020? It was. I think it was, yeah. Because she spoke out against Hillary Clinton, and CNN legit parked a news truck outside of her house. I know you guys remember this, because they like ambushed her, like man on the street style with a microphone in her face, ambushed her. Her damn house address was like on the camera. Right. Like, you could see the street sign in her house. Everybody knew where she lived after that. They found her because of just something she said on Facebook. So, you know, when you put all that out there, I feel less bad about going after randos. Exactly. You know, it's hard. It's a hard position to have, because I don't want cancel culture for speech. I'm not going to tell somebody to get fired. I will draw the line there. I'm not going to tell a business to fire somebody. I am not going to do that. But I will say, you're a D-bag, you know, and I don't mind saying it publicly. That's not canceling. That's me saying, oh, I saw what you did there. You D-bag.
Yeah,
that's what that is.
I agree with that. And I think the people that are doing it effectively, like libs of TikTok, they're not saying, hey.
No, she did. She was like, Home Depot, she found
fired.
A store and was like, do you like this store?
Yeah, so she's saying, what do you think about this?
That goes right up to the line. Come on.
That does it, but it doesn't cross the line.
What is that? I don't know. I disagree with you. I think they're being rhetorically.
No, I'm for that. Because you just listed a laundry list of things that they
but
do
I'm not
just
gonna
in
go
gaming.
Like, hey, like H&R Block, this person who said something that I don't like on X, what do you think about that? I don't think I'm going to do that.
Well, then you shouldn't. Because
I will say the person's a D-bag. And I don't know. Do I want to go after somebody's job? I don't know if I want to do that.
I see what you are saying. But in reality, the way you can look at it and stay positive is
look
just
at him trying to make me into a bully.
Is just what kind of what Nick was saying. Nick Searcy was saying, just help them with their self-reflection. That's all it is. You're helping them with their self-reflection.
When the people say, because I've heard people tell me, well, you know, you can't be milquetoast. Believe anybody who would say that to me does not know me. I've literally jumped off stages and swung at people. So you cannot say that to me. And that's lit. I mean, Kane can attest. I am probably the meanest, but my concern isn't for any treatment of the left. Please don't mistake me, because I don't get rants ass. My concern is I don't want us to think that that's the, but although I don't see this where it gets weird. I feel like we've been put in this shoehorn this position.
It's like playing a soccer game.
I don't want the right to become or to become indistinguishable from the left in that regard.
But what you're doing, you're
out of concern for them, not because I care about the left.
You're talking about two soccer teams. One team is playing by a set of rules, right? And you have to play by that set of rules. That's all that's happening right now.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Some goofy influencer on some social media platform wants you to know that there's a sinister truth behind Texas Roadhouse's iconic rolls. This guy named Brendan Oxford, who apparently just discovered this just today and thinks that history began the day that he discovered like things and stuff, warns you that the pre-dinner bites are a gimmick to make you order more food. He says that eating the highly processed sugary bread can make your blood glucose levels spike and dip quickly and make you feel hungrier after eating them. Not right away, you goofball. Because it's just, leave Texas Roadhouse alone. Officials are increasingly banning student cell phones in K-12 schools, reversing a trend. They're making them put, there's like these little pockets that they can put their phones in. They make them put them in like a shoe holder on the door so that they can get their kids off their phones in the classrooms, which more and more people are doing that. Let's see here. Watching sports could actually help you live longer, happier lives, according to a study. I don't know. Like, I see some of, like, you know, with, like, the Euro Cup and all this other stuff, and people get really worked up over that. I don't know. And sometimes my stepdad would, like, yell real loud about, like, a, you know, bad play or something. I don't know. They said that research makes you, that it's a somehow, like, tied into your psychological state, and it's, I don't know. They looked at 7,000 adults, and they said that, you're apparently healthier and happier. Really? I don't know. I don't think that's enough. There are two people charged in roast beef theft. Arby's. Two women working at an Arby's concocted a scheme to steal thousands of dollars in roast beef. To do what with? And they got in trouble. They said that they were trying to take over all of this stuff at the end of their shift without permission, and they got busted. It was like $2,800 in roast beef. Stick with us. Joel Berry from Babylon Bee up next. Debt can be an endless source of sleepless nights, trapping you with sky-high interest rates on credit cards and loans. But there's hope with Zero Debt USA, a path out of the debt trap. Visit zapmydebt.com and be sure to click on Dana Show in the How Did You Hear About Us box when you sign up. Zero Debt USA has new aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. And Zero Debt USA can cut or even eliminate interest. And they can also find programs to write off your balances so that you owe less. Zero Debt USA can do all of this without bankruptcy or a loan. Zero Debt USA offers professional support by a certified debt specialist, no upfront fees, and 24/7 access to all your account information through online client portal. Zero Debt USA will find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Zero Debt USA first and talk to them for free and find out how fast they can help get you out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tu thakar tum payar das jiyo pind sab teri raas tum mat pita hum bark tere tumri kirpa main sukh kane.
I think my favorite part about this is all the clip art praying that's like all around the screens. Like they're like reminding everyone this is a prayer. And they got the clip art everywhere on all the different screens. This is Harmeet Dhillon, who's been on the program before. She's an attorney. She's Indian. And she was doing a Sikh prayer, S-I-K-H. And I don't know if you know a lot about the Sikhs. I think they're pretty hardcore. I mean, just go look at the history with the, you know, fighting Islamofascism and all this other stuff. And you have like natural allies. But she was leading this prayer at the RNC, and I've been to conventions before. I used to have to go for work, but I don't have to if I don't want to now because I'm older and, you know, put more time in. But I've seen, Baptists come out, Catholics, non-denominational, Protestants, Jewish leaders. Everybody. Because they have like a couple of people come out and they lead a prayer like every single day at like different times of the day. So it's not unusual. But there's been this like really big argument that has really erupted on the right about the place of Christian faith in the RNC. And there's a lot of concern about the removal of like pro-life language from the platform and the removal of defining traditional marriage as being between a man and a woman. And I love what Joel Berry said. He's the managing editor of the Babylon Bee. And I wanted to read this to you because I think it's kind of long for a t-shirt, but it's t-shirt worthy. He writes, quote, he wrote this on X. He said, quote, "Sorry, pro-life evangelical leaders. When you nominate weaklings like Romney, McCain, and Mike Pence, you lose elections. When you act like politics is too dirty for Christians to be involved in, you lose the party. When you think evangelizing entails inviting your neighbor to megachurch movie night, you lose the culture. The Republican Party is no longer yours, but you weren't pushed out," he writes. "You gave it up. You stopped fighting for it. You were too busy building your stupid megachurch kingdom with its 28 satellite locations and inane self-help sermons while the culture and the country fell into disrepair. There's still time to turn it around, but you have a ton of work to do." And he adds, too, that you lost the Republican Party long before Trump. They paid lip service to your cause, but they never really cared about it. And you were satisfied to remain uninvolved and punch the ticket for whichever polite, milquetoast family man with good hair told you the right things while giving up on every single issue. And he ends with, "Trump and Trump supporters didn't start this. They just exposed it." Oh, my gosh. That's a sermon. And joining us right now is Joel Berry with the Babylon Bee. God love you for writing that, because I am so glad that you said this. And I say this as someone who lives in a town where we just had a mega church scandal at the Gateway Church with one of the pastors over there, and it became this huge thing. And I'm like, and I always hear all the time from so many leaders, like, don't, you know, politics is dirty, don't get involved in it. You know, you're not really, it's like bad for Christians to get involved. I'm so glad that you said this. Tell me what your thoughts are of all of this, because I think what you said is what a lot of people are really feeling.
Yeah, so I think evangelicals, for the most part, have themselves to blame for this. For the last two decades, we've been told, if you get involved in politics, if you're an outspoken conservative, you're worshiping power, you're practicing idolatry, you're living for the kingdom of man rather than the kingdom of God. You know, you hear all this stuff. And our leaders have been examples of complete impotence in spite of our high ideals, the things that we believe. They haven't done much good for the Republican Party. They haven't done much good when it comes to preserving our culture and stopping the march of the left. And so we shouldn't be surprised. I mean, while we were being lectured from the pulpit about not being too political from our evangelical leaders, people like Harmeet Dhillon were kicking down doors, fighting for liberty for our children and our grandchildren. And so of course, the Republican Party, they're going to go with the people who are actually fighting, who are actually doing something, as opposed to the people who are kind of sitting off to the side, just waiting to be catered to, like evangelicals have for so long.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, while these people were doing this, people like Dylan were going out and fighting the good fight. And even during the COVID lockdown, I mean, our church was one that locked down. And I mean, we had like, you know, people within our church talk about how it's, you know, it's nice to wear your face mask because it makes other people feel comfortable and, you know, keep 6 feet away. And yes, you know, and try to justify, you know, at a time when the church should have been open and they weren't. And that's when really a lot of people were really motivated to get out. And that's why we see so many people and there's so much passion right now. But you make such a good point, because I do feel like the church kind of accommodated that. Not all, but some.
Well, yeah, I mean, COVID was a great shame for the church. I mean, the fact that the churches shut down for months and months and months when people, the sheep, Christians needed to be fed, needed fellowship. It was such a colossal failure. And in a time when, you know, the left is aggressive, the left is getting their policies, you know, passed. At a time when we need people who are bold, people who are willing to speak the truth in a hostile culture, people who are willing to fight and win, evangelicals, especially, particularly our leaders, not necessarily the rank and file, haven't done anything. You know, a great example, you know, I live in Ohio. We had issue one, which was one of the most horrific pieces of legislation. It legalized abortion up to the moment of birth for any reason, no questions asked, in a largely conservative state like Ohio. I was part of the pro-life movement at the time. Getting pastors to say anything in the pulpit, you know, to oppose issue one, getting churches to organize to, you know, to help with voter drives or attend protests, anything like that. It was like pulling teeth, because pastors, well, you know, that's politics, you know, that we're not supposed to be involved in that. We might lose our tax exemption. There's this great fear in evangelical churches about doing any of that. Mm. Not so with the left. You go to a Democrat church, you go to, you know, a black church, they are preaching politics every Sunday from the pulpit. They are getting souls to the polls. They are organizing, and we're just not doing that. And so I think the Republican Party, they started to look for, okay, we need people who are willing to fight. And evangelicals just don't seem to have the fight in them anymore.
I think that's a huge point. We're talking with our good friend Joel Berry, and I think you're making a point that a lot of people are really scared to make, because nobody wants to look like they're being too harsh and criticizing the church or criticizing their faith or criticizing their elders or anything like that. And I get that totally. But then at the same time, there are a lot of people asking, well, where's that representation in the RNC? You know, the language about traditional marriage and the language, you know, on abortion. And that's, I mean, it seems to be like, you know, and it is kind of a pretty moderate, you know, right down the middle position on all of that stuff for this platform. It's not anything like we've seen prior to Republican RNC platforms. And you said it's because, you know, evangelicals really removed themselves from that fight. I don't really see a lot of that activism as much on the right as I used to see when I was younger.
Yeah. And well, I think the good news, though, is that I think the younger generation has mostly rejected that kind of that weak-kneed evangelicalism of, you know, the last 20 years. I think the bold Christianity and outspoken Christianity is back. It is sad to kind of see it being taken out of the official Republican platform. But I think that it's coming back in a big way, and I think our voices are going to be much louder. And I think we're in the next 10 years, you're going to see Christians being a lot more effective to get some of these political wins.
Talk to me about this for a minute, about the idea of that you're being a bad Christian if you're involved in political outreach, because that, if it's not said, it's definitely intimated in a lot of churches. And I have so many of our friends in our church. It's like the dirty thing. Like we, you know, people know that I work in politics, but it's like a dirty thing that we just don't talk about in church. It's just very odd. What are your thoughts on that? How do we overcome that?
Well, I think part of it is a little bit of an embarrassment reflex. You know, the 90s and the 80s, we had the moral majority and the Jerry Falwells. And there's this kind of like, well, we don't want to be those icky, you know, right-wing Christians. And so a lot of evangelical leaders have kind of taken upon this mantle as being like PR reps for Christianity. We have to be cool. We have to be kind of, pleasing and winsome, and we got to invite people in. We can't be like those hard-nosed Republicans. We can't be like the Rush Limbaugh types. And so they kind of just pushed all that aside. And there's a lot of kind of like passive-aggressive like shaming of any outspoken conservatives, outspoken Christians who are involved in politics. And, you know, as a result, you're seeing, you know, school boards in largely Christian areas are being populated completely by leftists, you know, city council, local elections. I mean, we've completely given this up to the left. You know, the evangelical voters are the most reliable pro-life, pro-family voting bloc. I mean, if churches were to mobilize, we could make sure that a Republican never lost an election again. Mm. But I think there's just been this overwhelming fear from our leadership, you know, to look bad. They don't want to look uncool. They don't want to look square.
And it's like a business approach too. I mean, I understand that you know, you're out there trying to win souls over, but sometimes it maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, sometimes for me it seems like, you know, you have some leaders out there that are more interested in adding more, you know, seats to the corporatized megachurch than actually going out and winning the souls.
Yeah, they're entrepreneurs now. They're trying to get more butts in seats. And they have won people to their buildings with, you know, slick programs and cool music and really kind of watered down sermons that don't really have a lot of depth to them. And they're at the point now where they have these, you know, 20,000 person churches, a third of which are on the left politically. And they know that if they speak out, they're going to lose all these people. What do we do? And so I think a lot of it is absolutely, it's money motivated.
Because it's not like people are speaking out on, you know, like just trying to think of, you know, like taxes or something like, I mean, you're talking about life and you're talking about, you know, the building blocks of a functioning society, which is a family that parents, a man and a woman start and, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, they're not controversial things. I mean, it's very biblical, but they're very nervous to talk about any of this stuff. And which is weird because the stereotype from the left is that they're not, but in reality they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing I always tell people is that Christians are meant to be salt and light. You know, our presence in the world should make the world look different. We're not meant to just kind of sit in our churches and our ivory towers and we just kind of like listen to our sermons and that's it. We're supposed to go out and it's supposed to make a radical difference in our communities and our states and our countries. And so I hope that the tide is turning in Christianity in America. I hope that we're kind of turning back that fear that we've had for so long. Because we're going to lose our republic. We're going to lose our freedoms if evangelicals don't start mobilizing.
Yeah, that's a good point. One last thing you add, you want God back in the party. Me too. That requires you to emerge from your pristine ivory towers and take your Christian faith into the ugly, messy world of political action. You add, feel free to join us, but I won't hold my breath. You don't sound very optimistic there, Joel.
I'm naturally a pessimist. That way I'm always surprised when something good happens.
Right.
I hope it does turn out well. I hope it does.
And what do you, do you think that that's going to, what would you like to see? This will be my last question to you. What would you like to see with regard to this issue in the RNC? Because I understand people's and I completely agree with you 100% on this. I understand the concern that individuals have, but like you, I'm like, well, where were you out here fighting for this? Or why were you so quiet on this issue? And it's always like the same groups forever that have always held the line on issues of like life or marriage or things like that. And some of the people that I see speaking out the loudest about this now, I've noticed were pretty silent during some of these battles before.
Yeah, I think really the only thing that's going to turn this around in a substantive way is going to be, it's going to take radical spiritual revival from the ground up. I think all of us need to repent. Our leaders, we need repentance. We need repentance. We need to get back to the basics of what Scripture says, preaching the plain truth of Scripture, speaking the plain truth of Scripture to this post-truth culture, and living it out. And I think once we do that, I think you'll start to see this groundswell of change. It's going to look weird and mysterious, and we're not going to be able to necessarily put our finger on it, but I think it has to start in the churches with repentance and revival in our hearts, and getting back the basis.
Yeah, I agree with you. I keep hearing people say, oh, we're navigating a post-Christian world. I don't know if I'm ready to adopt that line of thinking yet. Post-Christian world.
Me neither.
Yeah, I'm not ready to accept that. Joel Berry with the Babylon Bee. God bless you, my friend. I appreciate you joining me today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. People who help bring you free radio. It's the folks over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And when you switch, first off, you're going to notice right off the bat, you're saving money and you're not supporting the things that you vote against every single time you go to the ballot box, because that's not what Patriot Mobile supports. Patriot Mobile supports your values. They support your rights. They support your freedom to worship how you want, your freedom to exercise your Second Amendment rights, all of that. And they're also going to help you find the perfect plan for your needs. They got plans tailor-made for everybody. It doesn't matter the family size, dinks, businesses of all sizes, all of it. They're going to get you set up. And when you switch, you can get free activation using code DANA. 100% U.S.-based customer service team is going to make it easy to switch on you. And you're also going to be helping to support and create more U.S.-based jobs. Visit patriotmobile.com/DANA or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code DANA to get that free activation. Make that switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/DANA, 972-PATRIOT.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, everyone. So Donald Trump has picked his new running mate, J.D. Vance. Trump looked for someone he knew would be a rubber stamp for his extreme agenda. And make no mistake, J.D. Vance will be loyal only to Trump, not to our country. And unlike Mike Pence, Vance said he would have carried out Trump's plan to overturn the 2020 election. He supports a national abortion ban and voted against protecting IVF. And if elected, he will help implement the extreme Project 2025 plan for a second Trump term, which would target critical programs like Head Start and Medicare. But we are not going to let that happen.
You know, they're having their debates. They've announced, I'm pulling this up right now because I've lost it. So they've set three debates. Apparently, Harris accepted three dates for a debate with Vance. And apparently, it's going to be hosted by CBS News. So it's going to be one of these dates, right? Not all three. It's going to be one of them. So it could be the 23rd of this month. It could be the 12th of August or the 13th of August. So that's apparently... So it'll be like either at the end of this month or the second week of August that these debates, one of the debate, the first VP debate takes place. And man, I don't think she should be that excited about it because she's not a good debater. She really is not. And I think it would be funny if Vance just like beat her to the punch with all of her sayings. Are you unburdened by what has been, you know? All right, today in Stupidity, Kane, what we got?
All right, why don't we just do Joy Behar here? I mean, my goodness.
I know you love her. She's one of your favorites.
Love her to death.
Yeah, just
love her to death. She's a cut 26-1. Listen to what she says here because it's so important to lower the temperature, you know?
Yeah.
How does the word fight, fight, fight lower the temperature? You know, that I don't get. I see it this way. Fighting with words?
Yeah.
Yep. Lord.
Saying, and if you feel better, we can call it, we're disputing, we're disagreeing. I'll get out my thesaurus on this. Mm-hmm. But the basic point is, I get that there are places you...
Today in Stupidity was a twofer.
Yay.
I didn't understand that at first, but
you got
now
two
I saw it
and
it was
one.
Very,
right.
Very nice.
Folks, make sure you find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of really good stuff that goes out there regularly. And of course, Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.